Numbers chapter 11. The people started complaining in the ears of Yahweh. When Yahweh heard it, his anger was kindled, and Yahweh's fire burnt among them and consumed some of those in the outskirts of the camp. Well, God hears all our complaining, and it says they complained in the ears of God. Well, I don't suppose it means that they actually prayed to God and said these things. It's just that God sees and knows all things, and he hears absolutely what we're saying and all our little complaints. He absolutely hears them totally. So his fire started to burn those in the outskirts of the camp, those on the very edge. That is, those who kept themselves as far away as possible from the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was in the middle of the camp, and the tents of Israel were camped all around it, on each side of it. So those who were on the edge, those who wanted to be as close to the surrounding world as they could and as far away as possible from the things of God. See, we should have the things of God, like the tabernacle, right at the center of our lives, and not be those who are on the edge, but those who are right in the center of anything to do with the things of God. The people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire abated. The name of that place was called Taberah, because Yahweh's fire burnt among them. Then the mixed multitude that was among them lusted terribly. And the children of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" So it's the mixed multitude. That is, those who were partly Egyptian. They were not completely committed to the ways of God, and yet they had gone with Israel on Passover night. Maybe they were wrongly motivated. Maybe they thought, if we go with the Israelites, we're going to get blessing. So their motive wasn't right at the start. And they thought, we're going to have this great God dishing out good things to us. It didn't quite work like that, because God is not promising blessing now. He's promising us everlasting life in his kingdom. And although we do have blessings now, that's not the primary thing. The main thing is the hope of the kingdom. So they complained, "Who will give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. There's nothing at all except this manna to look at." Well, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves. And I don't suppose they were eating all this fine food. They mention fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. So for them, the past had to be better than the present. This is typical of how people think in the world, that yesterday was better, that the past was better. When I was young or whatever, it was great. But now, no, it's terrible. And tomorrow's going to be awful. Whereas in Christ, we see things differently. The past was awful. It was the world and Egypt. It was terrible in Egypt. Now, today is much better. Tomorrow, in the eternal day of the kingdom, will be much, much better. So we have a far more positive view, whereas the world tends to be looking back. Worldly people tend to keep looking back to how it was, and they're not happy with how things are now. So they're complaining about the manna. Now, the manna was like coriander seed. The people went around, gathered it, ground it in mills or beat it in mortars, boiled it in pots. Its taste was like the taste of fresh oil. When the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to Yahweh, "Why have you dealt with your servant so badly? Why haven't I found grace in your eyes? For you lay the burden of all this people on me. Have I conceived all this people? Have I brought them forth that you should tell me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers?' From where can I get meat to give to all this people? For they weep to me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If you treat me this way, please kill me right now, if I have indeed found grace in your eyes, and don't let me see my wretchedness." So it was all too much for Moses, that he really just could not put up with their complaining. All the time they were grumbling and complaining. God had given them food, the manna, every day, and it tasted like fresh oil, and they could prepare it in different ways, we're told. But that wasn't enough. We want meat. And they were never satisfied. This is a trouble with people who are living only for today. If they had thought more carefully, they would have remembered where they had been saved from. When they were in Egypt, they were saying, oh, save us, we can't stay here another day. And they would have believed where they were going to the inheritance of God's kingdom and the land of Canaan. But no, all they could see was today and the problems of today, the immediate things right now. So God said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel and bring them to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you not bear it yourself alone. So God could have just told Moses to do that anyway, but he waits until Moses begs him for help before he does it. I think you see there how God carefully plans things out. He knew maybe that it was within the potential of Moses' patience to bear with these terrible people. But, okay, he waits till Moses gets to this desperate point, and then he does do something. Say to the people, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, and you will eat flesh. You've wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, who will give us flesh to eat? Who will give us meat? It was good for us in Egypt. Therefore God will give you flesh, and you will eat. You will eat not for one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, but a whole month. Until it come out of your nose, and until you hate it. Because you have rejected Yahweh who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? Moses said, the people are 600,000 men on foot, and you've said, I will give them meat, that they may eat a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient? This is all very similar to how Jesus says to the disciples when there's the huge crowd of people, you give them food to eat, and they say, how can we? We haven't got enough money. Where could we get food in the wilderness for all these people? So it was as if, really, they should have learnt the lesson from this incident, but they didn't. Just as we, like the disciples, are given situations in our life that actually have occurred before in the Bible. And if we read the Bible daily, then we'll be aware of the history and we'll see that man is not alone, that things that happen to us have in principle happened to somebody else in Bible times. So they should have realized this, but they didn't. So God said to Moses, has Yahweh's hand grown short? Now you will see whether my word will happen to you or not. Moses went out and told the people the words of Yahweh, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people around the tent. Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit came on them, they prophesied, but they did so no more. But two men remained in the camp, Eldad and Medad, and the Spirit rested on them, and they were of those who were written, that is, they were of the 70, but they had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. The young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, said, my lord Moses, forbid them. Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all Yahweh's people were prophets, that Yahweh would put his Spirit on them. A wind from Yahweh went out and brought quails, like big fat meaty birds from the sea, and let them fall by the camp about a day's journey on each side, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the earth. The people rose up all that day and all that night and all the next day and gathered the quails. And they spread them all abroad for themselves around the camp. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the people, and Yahweh struck the people with a very great plague. The name of that place was called Kibroth Hattavah, because there they buried the people who lusted. In the Psalms, we're told that it was the fattest of them who were struck down. That is, those who said, oh, we're hungry, we need meat. when they were actually the fat people. It was the fat ones who complained, "We haven't got meat to eat." And they were struck down by God. So you see that God can do all things. And how wrong it is to complain, and how on our wilderness journey to the kingdom, we are not to complain, not to just be frustrated that, oh, it should be better, this could be better, that's wrong, this ought to be right, and all that sort of thing. This is not what God wants. He wants us to do all things, we're told in the New Testament, without murmuring and without complaining, to be content with our lot. You know, God gave them manna every day. He gave them water from the rock. Their clothes and their sandals didn't wear out for 40 years. He gave them the basic requirements to get from Egypt to his kingdom. And that's what he's promised to give us. We left Egypt when we got baptized. That was like going through the Red Sea. And now we're in the wilderness. Now we're doing our wilderness journey. And when Jesus comes, we will, as it were, enter Canaan, go into the kingdom. And in this life, God has given us all the basics that are needed. So let's not murmur, let's not complain, but be content with what we've had, with what we've got. Because as Paul says, godliness with contentment is a great gain.